Hey guys, welcome back to Women in Tech with Ariana, with your favorite host, me, of course. I'm going to pick back up from the previous week of a part two of just faith in business. So if you have not listened to that episode, you have to go back to listen to that one to get some of the context and understand some of my journey. And I'll do a refresher here a bit, but please go back and listen to last week's episode. It was so good. Dropped last Tuesday, and then come back to this one. Come right back. But just to continue on the topic of faith and business, faith has just, again, it's such a key to my life and who I am as a person, as Ariana, before I am Ariana the techie, Ariana the CEO, Ariana the friend, Ariana the daughter. I am Ariana, and a lot of who she is, who is me obviously, ties directly into my belief systems and values as a person. And so in the previous episode, I talked about how oftentimes people will try to separate the two of who they are personally versus who they are professionally. And I'm a firm believer that whoever you are when you go home and no one is looking at you, that is exactly who you are. And those habits that you do, the decisions that you make, the small things, and even the big things too as well, but definitely those small decisions that we make behind closed doors, equate to the type of person that we are in public and what people truthfully see. Whether we're going back on our word, going back on our promises, leaving that extra dish out every single night. And it's not about perfection. But I am a firm believer that how we do everything is truly how we do everything. And so I've been on this journey the last 2 years of just uncovering who I am and why I am the way I am, and understanding more about my habits and morals and values, because that directly ties into how I perform as a founder and CEO of a company. And so one of the things I left off of in the previous episode was my decision to drop out of college. I had this big aha moment that I know it was literally God himself telling me, hey, I'm taking you in a completely different direction. And how often does that happen to us in life, right? You have this goal, you have this dream, you have this vision or project that you're working on. You're working at a company, or maybe you just started a business. And you get this gut feeling of, oof, something is about to shift. And that's exactly what happened to me. And so I decided to drop out of my college and university at the time, which was a very tough decision. I was a first generation college student. So that means I was the first person in my family to ever go to college, period, in my bloodline. And so for me to make a decision like that, where, you know, I'm the one in my family that I would consider probably like the Moses, where people are like, okay, she's going to go somewhere. She's going to do something great. And so to make a decision like that was just, it was bizarre for my family and friends. They're like, why would you do that? Why would you give all these things up? You've received so many honor awards. You had 3 successful software engineering internships. You're a NASA grant scholar. You know, you worked for Honda Manufacturing, GE Electric, you know, so many different companies, and making all this headway, and you're going to decide to drop out to be an engineer? And not only did I decide to drop out, but I really truthfully didn't have a full plan. And at the time, I was in love, was in a relationship that definitely played a part. Let's be real, get a little personal. And we decided at the time, like, okay, we're going to move to Michigan. That's where he had some opportunities. And I was like, okay, you know what? Like, I'm going to, you know, find opportunities out here in this state. And college was just expensive as well. That was another factor for me. It was just like, okay, how am I going to pay all this off? And beyond that, and yes, you can find a good, I majored in electrical engineering at the time, by the way, as well. And yes, engineers do make good money, but I wanted something bigger. There was something yearning in me that was bigger than just getting a regular job. I wanted to be able to create opportunities of wealth for my family and access to other people. Ultimately, I'll also share this. My why behind most of what I do in the world is truthfully about philanthropy. Like, I want to be known to be one of the biggest philanthropists in the world, and I will be one day. And I do philanthropy now at a very, very small level of my level. And I won't say small, wait a minute. You know, for me, it's I do what I can, and it's a big deal, and I'm not going to speak down on that. But I have dreams of goals of being a much, much bigger philanthropist. And so oftentimes, the reason behind why I want to grow a company to be a unicorn and do these things is because I truthfully want to help deliver hope in the world. And a lot of that comes from my faith values as a Christian. And so I moved to Michigan, and I'm like, okay, I need to find some alternative ways and resources to still stay within technology. Because I was always, not always interested in technology, but I was exposed to it back in 2010 when I was a sophomore in high school and I was a part of this robotics club. And it was the sickest thing ever where we built this robot that could play basketball. It had a robotic arm and we competed in the time in a competition called First Robotics. And we literally, our team, out of 60 teams, we came in 60th place. It was our first time robotics club ever for our school. But we were the proudest kids ever. And that experience taught me so much about being a team member and technology. And at the time, I was learning a little bit of C++, and we were soldering things with our soldering guns and building and putting the parts of the robot together and working together. And that was the gateway of me of, wait a minute, this is an industry, this is something that I want to be in. And so after deciding to drop out of college, for a variety of reasons, but ultimately it was, I want to make a way out of no way and do something big for the world. And so I started to look for alternative resources. So at the time I majored, I went and found a coding boot camp, where basically you work day in, day out, and you code every single day, every single night to learn these software engineering skills to become a successful software engineer and in hopes of landing a job within the industry. And so I was not the best student at the time, y'all. I'm just gonna go ahead and say it and be real. My journey of doing a coding bootcamp, it was so hard. I felt like everyone was smarter than me. Everyone was catching on to concepts faster than I was. People were completing their homework quicker than I could blink my eye. And I was just like, oh my goodness, how am I going to navigate this at a different level? Because coding bootcamps, if you don't know, for those of you like, okay, what's a coding bootcamp? So you're basically tasked to learn these super complex systems and programming languages within a short amount of time. So my program was 3 months and it was full time. So it was 8 hours a day and it was basically like school, but it was much cheaper. I think at the time it was like maybe $10,000 or maybe close to 12 or somewhere between $8,000 and $12,000 at the time. And I not only had to do the 8 hours a day, I had to go home and I was doing another probably for sure, 6 to 10 hours plus weekends because I wasn't getting it as fast as other people. And that's a sermon right there, because how often do we feel like because we're comparing ourselves to other people, we can't do something because I'm not going as fast or I don't have the exact same resources as them. But maybe your story is similar to mine, where you just have to put in a little extra work than the average Jack or Jill to get it done, to be successful. And I'll tell you today, out of that cohort of maybe 20 of us, I think only 3 of us left are still truthfully actively in technology, let alone still software engineers. And so I just have to say, persistence is everything. So I did this coding boot camp and it was the hardest thing ever. And I'll talk about so the cool thing about coding boot camps as well is you learn so much, right? So really, the beauty of coding boot camps is that you learn a lot in a short amount of time. And this experience truthfully did change my life. But at the end of our three-month program, you had a capstone project where for the last 2 weeks of the boot camp, you basically had to build a project and demo it in front of potential employers, because the point of this is going in to get a job out of it, right? You had to be interviewed and do this presentation in front of your entire cohort, their funders, plus potential employers to get a job. And that means like live demos of your code, people coming up to you asking questions. So if you're a person that's listening to this and you've done a coding bootcamp, or you're a software engineer or a technical person, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. Or if you graduated from college, you did have to do a capstone, right, for school. And I was like, oh my goodness. I remember feeling so much anxiety. I was just like, okay, am I going to do this? And at the time, guys, I was learning .NET C Sharp. And, you know, obviously HTML, CSS, JavaScript, all that good stuff. And I was just like freaking out. I was like, okay, how is this going to work? So they put us, at the time, they put each of us into different groups, and you couldn't even choose your own group. So you didn't know who you were getting. When for the final 2 weeks, you didn't know who was you were going to have to build this project that is super important for passing and also, you know, presenting in front of potential employers. And so my team was so cool. And there, I have so many funny stories about that team. And, you know, we built a super cool web application. We called it, what did we call it? We called it, was it like Mood? It was an app, a web application that was like a Spotify, but for your mood. And, we called it Mood Wave. That's what it was, Mood Wave. And Mood Wave was a web application where you could listen to music and it would sense your mood. The application would sense your mood, and it's such a silly thing now that I think about it, but it would change the color and the vibe of the actual application itself based on your mood, but also it would sense your mood and recommend songs and playlists. So if you were feeling angry, you know, it would play some, you know, whatever, Rihanna or whatever you want to listen to. If you wanted to get lit, it was playing some Jay-Z and some Beyonce, or maybe you were feeling, you know, chill and you're like, okay, I just want to turn my life around. And you know, it was recommended CeCe Winans. And it was just the coolest project ever. And I remember the day of, and we're prepping for these employers that are coming in to look at our capstone project, and our code stopped working. And I was just like, oh my goodness, this is the worst day of my life. Literally, especially if you're a software engineer, if you know, you know, right? The code always breaks before the presentation or before the code review. But everything was working on my laptop, right? On my local host. And so I just remember feeling so much anxiety. But what I did not understand at the time, what was the point truthfully of the capstone, wasn't that all the pieces of code were going to be working together. It wasn't that every feature was going to be functional and I could push it live immediately to the app store. Now that's good and that's ideal and that's the goal. But the reality is it takes a lot of time to build a really, really good product. You know, in 2 weeks you can't, you know, build Rome overnight. And what they were really trying to teach us, which ultimately being the skill that I have that transformed my life, is I was able to quickly learn in a short amount of time new programming languages and new concepts, navigating communication with a team, building a successful team, working together, problem solving, gaining all these different skills, so that way an employer can see how I built this project that somewhat worked, but I could have the soft skills that I needed to push through, period. Because there are times at the job or on your startup where things aren't working, you have to find a quick fix. And so we did that. And everyone loved our project when we worked together. And so that was just a cool time in my life and of just persistence and pushing through. So anywho, so I do the boot camp, successfully ended up graduating from the program, and I actually ended up landing a job at one of the largest employers in the state of, actually in the Midwest. And I worked for a hospital where I ended up training doctors and nurses and executives on how to use a software program that helped to improve the lives of patients. And that came out of me getting that boot camp experience. This scary leap of faith that I had to take of dropping out of college, and oh my goodness. Oh, by the way, I didn't even mention when I dropped out of Tuskegee University, which is the, shout out to Tuskegee. I love the institution, phenomenal. Go donate to them, amazing. It, truthfully, it really did change my life and taught me a lot of the skills and the mindset I needed to even have to be a successful entrepreneur. And believe that I could do anything in the world, including drop out of college and still be successful, which it ended up doing today. But I didn't even tell you guys. So I actually was going back and forth about, you know, going back into college. Actually, maybe I'm cutting it too close. There's another story I need to tell before I even tell that story. But anywho, opens new tab. You can tell I'm a founder. I have 1,000 things going in my mind, and I go at 1,000 miles per hour. But I end up landing this awesome opportunity working at this hospital. And what a good example of just persistence, of doing things scared, not knowing that I would go from, you know, maybe not the fastest or quickest learner in my cohort, but I ended up landing a job and keeping that job. And they loved me there until I decided to leave again and really ape into the startup world, which is the story I want to get into now. So I'm living in Michigan and just finding my way, right? Like, you know, and at the time, even though I had graduated from this cohort, from this coding bootcamp, I still battled with depression. I'll also share with that. Like, you know, being a founder is a very lonely, lonely, lonely road. And I'm sure I'll have many different times where I mention this throughout the show, but it can be very hard to be the one that people, one, are obviously depending on, but also there's like, I feel like this heavy burden oftentimes really good founders have of like, okay, if I don't keep pushing forward, then who will? And so I really battled at the time with a lot of depression of just like, okay, feeling like I really just had no choice. And I'm glad that I pushed through it and I handled it well. You know, I didn't use like, you know, substance abuse or negative things to like fill the void or anything. And again, faith was a big deal and still is to this day a big deal for me that helped pull me through. And so just navigating like, okay, well, what do I want to continue in my career? Because I can't stay doing what I was doing forever. And by the way, although I was getting a lot of experience at this particular employer, I wasn't making a lot of money. And I always knew also going into the coding bootcamp that I wanted to be an entrepreneur, right? Like I talked about in the previous episode of wanting to transform my family's lives and other people around me from a generational perspective and building wealth, right? Which ties into my passion for philanthropy. And so I knew that going into the coding bootcamp, it would give me the skills that I needed to be a good builder, period, and to transform the world. I know, and I believe, I've always said this, that the table of the future is technology, and I need to make sure that I am always at the table with a seat. Whether somebody wants me there or not, I'm bringing my own folding chair, okay? And so at the time, I was like, okay, you know what? I know I want to do this entrepreneur thing. I want to basically get into the tech startup world. And being a part of my coding bootcamp, I actually didn't even know. I don't truthfully think I really, I didn't even know what a tech startup was really until like maybe 2017. So that was back when I was doing the coding bootcamp at the time to further develop my software engineering skills at a higher level. And through that bootcamp, I obviously networked with other people and we're talking about what's going on in the world, the news, all the good things. Actually, that was also the same year back in 2017 where I first got into being very curious and investing in blockchain industry. Because this was back when Ethereum was $250. And I remember that summer, all of us were talking, we're like, oh my goodness, it's so expensive. We think it's going to 300. Luckily, I did end up investing in some things that, you know, brought a return over time. But man, what a time when I think about 2017. That was a wild year for everybody in technology. And I was still new and early. But I'm at this job trying to navigate, okay, what's going to be my next thing? And so I end up doing this startup entrepreneurship program in the state of Michigan called 100 Ideas with a company called Start Garden. And that really helped kick things at another gear for me. And basically it was a competition where there were people, thousands of people from all over the world. It was their first year ever doing it. So this was, again, a year after completing my program. So I did the program in 2017. And then I heard about this competition in 2018. And basically, there are thousands of people from all over the world that apply to pitch their business to win funding for their startup. And it's no equity, no strings attached, basically free money for your company. And I was like, okay, maybe this is something that I want to do. Like, you know, I have all these ideas. I've been in the tech space for a while. I know how to build a product. Maybe this is what I need to do and be. And I applied into the competition, and they were out of thousands of people, they were only choosing 100. So the name of the competition was 100 Ideas. And so they were picking 100 different people that had an idea to be a part of this 3-month competition where they gave each person $1,000 to build anything towards their idea. It can be go for hiring people, building product, testing things out, buying materials, whatever your product was. Some people had physical product businesses. Some people were like me and they were tech startups or they were apps and they were pitching different companies. And so here I am applying to this competition thinking, okay, well, we'll see what happens. And I end up getting in. There was like a pop-up just came up on my screen. Hopefully this is still recording, y'all. But anyway, I end up getting in and winning in the first round. So that means I became one of the 100 people. When I tell y'all, this was the hardest thing ever. You're competing with 99 other businesses plus me to, you know, build something out of nothing. And this, again, this is my first time ever in this type of environment outside of the coding bootcamp, I would say, right? Where, you know, it was a short amount of time, you know, pressure to build something, etc. But I had never been in a business competition like this, especially of this size, where people from all over the world are, you know, a part of it. And so I end up making it to the first round. I want to tell y'all this, it was so hard. At the time, so the company that I built was called Adora Company. And you may be able to find some like old articles on it. The website, I believe I might have took it down. I still have the domain name and stuff like that. And I built everything myself. But I built basically this marketplace. This was pre-COVID as a precursor there. Pre-COVID. And basically it was a startup that women could sell their pre-owned cosmetics. And I know what you're saying, like, what? Like, yes, cosmetics. So think hair products, makeup, all the things. And what I found in research was that the average woman had around between 40 to 60 different products in her home, but she was really only using about maybe 8 to 12 per day and on a weekly basis. So there were tons of products that women were buying that, again, we know how much product our products are. Very, very expensive, right? You can buy an eyeshadow palette for $60 and, you know, all kinds of things. Mascara for $32 and foundation for well over $200. And so I got this concept where I was like, okay, you know what? Like, maybe women would be willing to resell this stuff. And a second aha moment I had about, you know, why I wanted to build this company was I was invited to a product swap party in Detroit at the time. And again, I lived in Grand Rapids, Michigan, but I was invited to go all the way to Detroit for this product swap party for this natural health hair festival at the time. And I was so shocked. I was just like, wow, they were taking and swapping products. And I'm talking the stuff that we were selling at Adora Company, it wasn't open. You know, that stuff was like, you know, it was still sealed. There were some things that if it were open, it was okay and approved to resale. So like eyeshadow, for example, you could scrape off the top, totally good palette, still worth, you know, over $60. But people were taking like cream, y'all know those cream jar containers, like where you have to stick your hand in it. People were taking those pre-owned products, which even I thought, I was like, okay, I would never even take that. I wouldn't go that far with it. But the company was actually not even doing that bad at the time. Again, when I'm talking about the company, I'm talking about during the time of the process of building within this 3-month competition. And I remember just going through that process of like, okay, I'm finding validation, but how do I really begin to test and just get in front of the customer more? And so that summer, I spent every day after work, because again, I was still working at the hospital at the time and doing my, you know, software engineering job. And every afternoon from, by the time I got off of work, from like 5 until the mall closed, until they literally would kick me out, I would go up to random people and I would ask them questions and I'd be like, hey, like, you know, I'd see a woman be like, oh my gosh, girl, I love your purse. And your hair looks good. What kind of products do you use? And I would basically ask them all these open-ended questions to really understand like, okay, is this something that you truly would pay for? Is this something that you would be a, you know, interested in? And so I comprised this entire database of all these answers. I got to go back and find that, because that was really a pivotal moment in my life of truly understanding the importance of, you know, customer discovery and all those things. And I did this process consistently during the weekday for 3 months. And I remember it like it was yesterday, y'all. It was the day before the competition. I was just like, man, and I tell y'all, by the way, in the middle of the 3 months, there were times where they also allowed the different companies to meet each other. So you were meeting your competition. When I tell y'all, these businesses were phenomenal. Some people had also already been in business for some years, but they were applying because they needed funding for a new addition or whatever. And there was all types of phenomenal, you know, companies that were there. And I just remembered that day, you guys. So it was the day of the competition and I was driving there and I pulled over to the side of the road and I said, you know what? I am not going to do this. I felt mentally defeated before I even showed up to present and share all the hard work that I had worked for the last 3 months. And in that moment, I wasn't thinking about dropping out of college. I wasn't thinking about how this could have been an opportunity for me to finally show my family, like, hey guys, what I'm doing, what I've done, it was worth it. And so I'm pulled over to the side of the road, and I tell y'all, this is why faith is important. And one thing I'm gonna do is give glory to God. Shout out to Jesus. But I'm pulled over to the side of the road, and I kid you not, I look at the phone, and back in these days, there are a lot of old friends that I had back then, and shout out to those old friends. A lot of y'all ain't my friend no more, but I do want to take my hat off to y'all, because it's hard to be friends with a founder or a person that's super ambitious and is just like all in, and they, you know, they just forget about everything, you know, and they're just focused on, you know, what they're building and doing. And a lot of their things that I, you know, I don't regret anything, but there are definitely ways that I could have been, I think, a better friend to many of my friends who supported me at that time, who didn't hear from me for weeks because the girl was coding and talking to customers and working full time. And different seasons require different things. We'll talk about that in another episode. But I'm pulled over on the side of the road and I had a missed voicemail from one of my friends. Her name is Megan Jackson. So shout out to Megan. Lived in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And she left me the most encouraging voicemail that basically said, Ariana, I feel like, and I know and believe that this is an opportunity that God has placed on your doorstep. And I just want to encourage you that you got this. And that voicemail had me in tears, because she didn't know that I would be pulled over on the side of the road. y'all, this is real. Like, this ain't no makeup play story that I'm sharing with y'all. And she didn't know that I would be pulled over on the side of the road thinking about not even going to the competition. And so I say that to say, oftentimes, the biggest battle that we have to fight is our own minds as founders. And you have to have what the definition of faith is, having the hope for something that you can't even see, that other people don't fully understand. What are you going to do when investors tell you no? What are you going to do when your family thinks you're crazy? Your spouse thinks you're insane. Your friends don't get it. What are you going to do when your environment is telling you no, but everything inside of you is saying, just keep going? Or everything inside of you is telling you not to do it. What about the moments you have to deny your own thoughts for the betterment of your future and those in your future that you're going to be supporting and who would be depending on you? And I tell you, I cranked that car back on. I listened to that voicemail one more time. I pulled up to that competition with all the anxiety in my bones and in my mind. And I stood outside. I looked at that sign of 100 ideas with Start Garden in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I said, you know what? The least I can do is show up. And I did. I showed up. They had different coaches that were going around to view all the 100 different companies. And every coach came to all the tables. They asked questions. You were drilled. You were grilled. And again, there was 99 other. There were companies in there, y'all, that had been in business for over 10 years, over a decade. At the time, a decade ago, I think I was 13 years old, right? So here I am, this young girl doing this competition, college dropout, working full time, but just really believing that, well, maybe this is the route for me, truthfully, entrepreneurship. And before I continue, I also want to say something. You got to have the right people around you and in your corner. You got to have people that know who you are and who God has called you to be on the days where you forget to remind you and be like, nah, girl, get back up. Get back up. You're the one. Get back up. You're the Moses of your family. Get back up. You're the one to keep going. Get back up. That is so key and important. And that's going to be a whole episode right there about just navigating spaces, having the right people in your corner. It's everything. And so I pulled up to this competition. I'm there. The coaches are drilling us, everybody. And now it's finally the end of the competition. And at that point, I was just proud that I did go through with it. I had so much fun talking to all the people there at the competition. And I learned so much from that night. But most importantly, I ended up winning and being one of the 10 entrepreneurs that won $20,000. No strings attached funding for my company. Early stage startup at the time. For what was just once a wild idea. And might I tell you, that was the day that my family and friends understood, wait a minute, she's onto something. And shout out to God, who, before anybody believed, before I even knew, he knew. And that was the big win for me. And one of the many wins that I still carry with inside my soul of like, no, Ariana, on that day you're tired, on that night you don't want to record that podcast episode, or the day you don't want to send that tough email, or the moment you don't want to have that tough conversation with someone, do it anyway. And I'm so grateful that I did. because my story would be totally different. The story that I'm telling you today would be totally different if I had chosen to stay on the side of that road. And so I am forever grateful. And I believe that it's so important for founders to have a true anchor behind closed doors that is helping to push you through. And maybe that's, you know, part of its faith. Maybe part of that for you is your children. Maybe that's your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever. But we have to have things that are external, right? Like those examples that I gave, but also internal that are just for you, that help to fuel you on those moments that are hard, where you can choose to continue to have faith to push forward as a founder in business. And so I say that to say, guys, you know, it's been a wild journey for me. And again, I have a million different stories to share with you all throughout this season four that I'm so excited about. But truthfully, ultimately, guys, what I want you to know is that anything really is possible. And you can do it. And so can I, if we believe we can. But if we believe that we can, and you are going to decide today that I don't want to do it because I can't, because of such and such reason, whatever, then guess what? That's true too. And you won't do it. But I hope that this podcast episode was encouraging for you to choose to do it anyway. And keep on believing. Have faith. God is good. I'll talk to you guys next Tuesday. Thanks for listening.